6th when he left his home in Elmore County. They say he was heading to work in Montgomery, but never arrived. A body was found in the Coosa River after a high-speed chase ended in the river last night. Police say that Alabama Department of Corrections officers were chasing a car that left Tutwiler Prison. Authorities say two passengers, a mother and a two-year-old child, were able to make it out of the car. The child was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. And Michael Fritz has announced he is running for mayor of Montgomery. He joins a crowded field of 10 candidates in the race for mayor. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACV Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
Let's have a chat about your debit card. The card you use for the things you buy every day. What if you could get cash back every time you bought those things? Well, now you can. Introducing Discover Cashback Debit. Just open a Discover bank account and start earning 1% cash back on up to $3,000 in debit card purchases every month, automatically. Plus, there are no monthly fees or minimum balances. Now you can get cash back on the way you like to pay. Open a Discover bank account and get the debit card with cash back. Go to discoverbank.com/debit. Limitations apply. Excludes money market accounts. Discover Bank, member FDIC.
What's in store for your business this week at Staples?
A printer with more ink than you think.
The Epson EcoTank printer comes with up to 2 years of ink included, right in the box.
So you can print up to 2 years worth of reports and proposals. Just think about how much you'll save on ink.
And right now at Staples, save $100 on the Epson EcoTank 4750. Plus, when you trade in your old printer in-store, you'll save an additional $50.
Staples, there's a whole lot in store.
Ends 3/23/19. See associate for details.
When news happens, you'll hear about it first. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Changes being made by Boeing. Turns out Boeing offered a warning system for a price that might have helped prevent the crashes.
The head of the United States Marine Corps says the deployment of troops to the southern border poses an unacceptable risk to military readiness.
The man who sent homemade bombs to Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, and others pleaded guilty to criminal charges.
American figure skater Mariah Bell accused of deliberately kicking and cutting a fellow skater.
Sources familiar with the probe, they expect no more indictments from the special counsel.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, in the midst of a tough re-election fight, thanked President Trump for declaring the territory seized from Syria after the 1967 war a permanent part of Israel.
And less than a week after the mosque attacks, New Zealand adopts strict new gun control laws.
What a moment in March. Murray State, as the 12 seed, races past Marquette.
I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity, allegiance, my love, and my devotion to the flag, our standard, oh glory, a symbol of freedom, wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United. That means that we have all come together. States. Individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country. And to the Republic, Republic, a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people. For which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation. And justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance: under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer, and that would be eliminated from schools too?
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome aboard, everyone. Newstalk 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Friday. Let me bring in Mr. Producer himself, the one and only Joey Clark.
Hello.
Is that a false start?
Yes.
61 gorgeous degrees outside, my friend. Stock market is down. Let me tell you how much the stock market is down. Got to cancel that out. Now it's down 353 points. Can you pop me up a little bit?
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you. Much better. Thank you so very much. 272-9228, that's where we are on the Friday. Reminder, first-time callers need to let Joey, the producer, know. We'll get your name in for the drawing for the Fresh Market. $50 gift card, $50 gift card from Fresh Market. Then anyone can get in on the Sweet Creek Farm Market gift basket. We're doing that drawing today. What's in that gift basket? $60 worth of goodies that you put in there from Sweet Creek Farm Market. Heading down there this weekend for sure. They've got those beautiful ferns. You need to call to see if the strawberries have gotten back in. I think they picked some yesterday. They're really, really good.
And you said yesterday those ferns are only
$15? $15. Wow. I mean, they're enormous.
That's a fantastic
deal. I mean,
deal.
You know, most places you would see smaller ones for $20, $25. It's $15.
It's weird how you have memories that back when it was going on, I couldn't stand it. But now I look back on it fondly, watering the ferns for my mom. Like, and we'd have like four or five of them hanging on this porch we used to have in County Downs. And go, water the ferns.
There you go. Dude, anything you were made to do you didn't like.
Right.
But then you have an appreciation for them, particularly when you can remind yourself of times you sat out in the patio and the wind was kind of slightly blowing and
exactly.
The ferns were going through. Yeah, that's... And then... last time I had ferns, we had a bird's nest in the fern. And
It
was really cool. It was really cool. That little rascal had to work to get in there, too. But it was, really, it was a smart move because you couldn't get to it. A cat couldn't get to it, and nobody could bother you. So that was good, and it was protected underneath the canopy, too. Okay, 272-9228. Also, Fresh Market has the bone-in ribeye for $7.99 a pound. Now, here's my only warning. If you go in there and there's only one left, do not buy it, because I'm going to be buying it this afternoon, and I don't want to be shut out for my my Duke game for tonight, which is at 6:10. It is absolutely gorgeous outside, too.
It really is.
Tomorrow's going to be in 75, 76 degrees.
I might just go on a random road trip to nowhere.
There you go.
Do that big loop that I never use out of that Pike Road exit.
Oh, yeah, the slide?
Right, and if any police or state troopers or sheriff are out and listening right now, please avoid that area at a given time.
Tomorrow around 11 o'clock?
Yeah, I'd like to hit that ramp at a high rate of speed. Not dangerous or anything, just...
I don't want to have to peel you off the side.
No, likewise.
Because, I mean, that thing is when you go down it, it is like a roller coaster ride.
It's fun.
It kind of defies logic that somebody would build something like that. I mean, it's like a little kid built it. Hey, let's do it real high.
Really, like Hot Wheels or something.
I mean, man, I tell you what. But it is, it's magnificent outside, and it's going to get high as... And it's, we have an unusual thing happening today. The high is going to be hit at 5 o'clock at 67 degrees.
Oh, wow.
That's the last. And then it drops off pretty substantially from there. Let's see, we lose the 10 points by 9 o'clock. So in 4 hours, it drops 10 degrees. Okay, let's see what all we've got here. We've got the Alabama House Democrats' agenda is going to be brought up. We've got the Common Core passes out of the Senate. We'll talk about that a little bit. Catherine Herridge has got some new information and talking about Mueller, and we might lead off with that. We have Boeing aircraft. They're under investigation by the FBI. There was an $80,000 sensor that you had to buy extra, that if the sensor would have been there, they would have known about the plane crashing. What do you think the 300 people, how they would vote from in that aircraft, whether they should have done that? We're also going to be talking about how Boeing does extras here, like extra fire extinguishers and this type of thing, like the sensor. The Jewish vote and Donald Trump on the Golan Heights, and Dems are avoiding AIPAC. Some of the Dem presidential candidates are avoiding AIPAC. And then this thing, the media is kind of going nuts over the Golan Heights deal. Let's start out with Catherine Herridge, and the Mueller report may be wrapping up.
The White House, Washington, and all of America waiting for Robert Mueller's report on Russian election meddling. The special counsel expected to deliver his findings soon to the Attorney General, William Barr. He will decide what the public gets to see. Chief Intelligence Correspondent Catherine Herridge live in Washington with more on that.
We are working to confirm reporting this morning from ABC News that no more indictments are anticipated. We know here at Fox independently that special counsel investigators are taking steps that are consistent with tying up loose ends, including closeout interviews with witnesses. Almost all the key players were at the Justice Department yesterday. The Attorney General William Barr, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, former Acting Attorney General Whitaker, for a presentation to the former Attorney General Jeff Sessions. The report was not delivered yesterday, and those close to the process suggested it was unlikely given the timing of this very public event. Next steps, as you mentioned, are guided by federal regulations known as 28 CFR 600 that explicitly state the Mueller report is confidential to the Attorney General and must outline prosecutions and declinations. Those are cases where no criminal action is taken. Listen carefully to this exchange from Barr's confirmation hearings, where he commits to transparency, but he appears to stop short of releasing the full Mueller findings.
Will you provide Mueller's Mueller's report to Congress, not your rewrite or a summary?
The regs do say that Mueller is supposed to do a summary report of his prosecutive and his declination decisions, and that they will be handled as a confidential document. I am going to try to get the information out there consistent with these regulations. And to the extent I have discretion, I will exercise that discretion to do that.
Okay, so that was the end of that piece of the discussion for Catherine Herridge. And she said all sorts of things in there, talking about the fact that Barr was over at the White House, along with Rosenstein and Whitaker, by the way, yesterday. But then we all of a sudden found that there's some new emails and text messages from Strzok and Page. Oh. Let's listen to this.
Separately, Fox News has obtained these text messages between former acting FBI Director Andrew McCabe and former FBI lawyer Lisa Page. This shows that there was deep concern within the Justice Department over a surveillance warrant application just 9 days before one was obtained for Trump campaign aide Carter Page. The texts also show that the two exchanged derogatory blogs about then-candidate Trump and used very derogatory language to describe former GOP chairman Trey Gowdy.
Interesting. Very interesting. This does start is having a different feel to it. We don't know when it's going to happen, but they spotted Mueller and he was driving himself and not being driven by somebody. Then the meeting that happened at the White House with Whitaker, Barr, and Rosenstein, and kind of it's supposed to have been on an unrelated subject, but I'm not sure if you have those three together, how you don't talk about things like this. So we'll kind of find out in the fullness of time. It would be interesting. They normally drop these things late on a Friday afternoon. So I don't know if today's the day or not. But it seems with the people that are leaving the investigation and such, that that may be an indicator. So let's now move into this Boeing subject. By the way, we have Mike Holmes. We'll be in at 2 o'clock for legislature roundtable. So Boeing... And you get a lot out of this report here, by the way. But the FBI is looking into what were the changes that were made and to the warning system, and how was the process done that involved the FAA oversight. And so listen in.
Boeing says the FAA approval for new safety updates to its software on the 737 MAX jets could come as early as next week. And this is important. Boeing also says a previously optional safety feature will become standard after two crashes of MAX jets that killed 346 people. Investigators this morning are still trying to determine why the MAX fleet was certified to fly in the first place. Our transportation correspondent Chris Van Cleve is here in New York with the...
There are some big questions here. We're also learning overnight Ethiopian Airlines is pushing back against reports questioning its safety culture and pilot training. Two complaints were filed with the FAA back in 2015, but the airline says today they operate the highest... They operate with the highest global standards of quality and safety. This, as the focus is increasingly turning towards Boeing, which may be the subject of a criminal investigation.
Sources tell CBS News Boeing has been subpoenaed by the Department of Justice's fraud unit. DOJ is requiring the company to retain documents, records, and data related to the Boeing 737 MAX's approval process. The MAX fleet has been grounded for more than a week as investigators try to determine what led to two deadly crashes.
Our entire team stands behind the quality and the safety of the aircraft we design, produce, and support.
Boeing says it is making changes to its software on the MAX. The company announced it would now make standard an indicator light that warns pilots of a sensor malfunction that could cause its anti-stall system to activate unnecessarily. Investigators believe that anti-stall system, new on the 737 MAX, triggered on Lion Air Flight 610, repeatedly forcing down the nose of the plane, leading to last October's crash.
So... they're talking about that needed a warning system, and you're going to hear in this next piece here that it's going to reemphasize the $80,000 for a sensor light. Listen in.
The previously optional indicator light was not installed on the Lion Air 737 MAX that crashed or the Ethiopian flight that went down last week. A U.S. airline source says that feature would cost roughly $80,000 extra on a plane with a list price of about $120 million.
This problem should not have been that hard to diagnose.
The FAA's former director of accident investigations, Jeff Gazzetti, says whether or not the Lion Air pilots had access to that safety feature, they should have been trained to handle the issue.
The culture, it seems, of this airline in not aggressively handling the maintenance issues that were recorded, as well as the in-flight non-normal situations, tells me that there's something amiss with the system's safety of Lion Airlines.
The Department of Defense will also be reviewing all of its Boeing aircraft and its training practices for its crew. That includes Air Force One. This is out of an abundance of caution.
Chris, we all want to know, why was this blinking light, that safety feature, not automatically a part of the plane?
So this has been an available feature on the 737 since the late 90s. Boeing told me it was never a particularly a bestseller. American Airlines has had it in all of their 737s since the 90s. What changed was the importance of these sensors and their link to this anti-stall system, which is brand new to the MAX. And you know, it certainly sounds like, in hindsight, Boeing failed to appreciate the importance of those angle of attack sensors, the importance that both of them be linked to the anti-stall system, and that the pilots have a clear understanding of what's going on with those two sensors. They became optional to really important in the course of this update.
I would say that would be kind of important here. Let's listen to the discussion about extras afterwards and kind of put it in our discussion.
But in the meantime, I keep thinking about over 300 people lost their lives, seemingly exactly. Now with what we're seeing now, when you see the plane go up and down that way, you know how terrifying that must have been for them. I don't understand why safety features are optional to begin with. It says here that Boeing charges extra for a backup fire extinguisher in the back.
Yeah, so there are mandatory required safety features, and then just like when you buy a car, if you want to go up a level, those things cost more money. Japan, for example, requires more fire extinguishers, so those airlines get charged more for fire extinguishers.
This is the difference between a luxury like leather seats.
Bingo. Right.
Absolutely.
And exactly right.
Upgrades.
Absolutely.
Right. We all want that light.
Yeah.
And that's the point. Different countries have different standards. So if one requires five, you know, fire extinguishers, and the other one requires three, you don't give them five instead of three, then the country that requires five, you sell them the extra two. That just seems a business decision. This $80,000 sensor, though, I don't know. I mean, it should have said, if you're not using the sensor, then you need to be trained in X, Y, and Z. That seems that would have made sense to me. Going to be back with information about Common Core right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
Turn on. Tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM.
Giving voice to liberty in our time. The Joey Clark Radio Hour. Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
We know that local business drives the local economy. Without local business, there is no Montgomery. As a locally owned business, we at Blue Water work hard every day to support local business.
Hi, this is Jeff Mallinson with Georgia Floors Direct, and I want to talk to you about Blue Water Broadcast and how they've helped my business spread the word. As every small business owner, I have to look at my advertising dollars carefully, and Blue Water Broadcast helps me get the most for every dollar I spend. I'm so glad to be a part of Blue Water Broadcasting and what they bring to Montgomery.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting, local folks helping local business.
The River Region's 24-hour news talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Leaders across the country developed Common Core as a way to ensure all schools are judged against the same set of standards. But since then, some have criticized the system. Political reporter Lydia Nussbaum is joining us live with more. And Lydia, why did the Senate vote for the repeal?
Well, Val, the Senate chamber voted 23-7 to repeal Common Core standards. I spoke with the bill sponsor today who says he believes it's time to repeal those standards because Alabama students are ranked poorly in English and math. And he says he wants more competitive standards.
The Senate chamber voted to repeal Alabama's Common Core standards.
49th in math is unacceptable. 46th in reading is unacceptable.
Common Core is a set of teaching and testing standards in English and math. They are standards for students K through 12, and these standards are also known as the Alabama College and Career Ready Standards. Senate Pro Tem Del Marsh sponsors the bill to repeal Common Core. He says the state needs new standards.
I believe that the new standards will really make a clear picture of how we do compare with those. We want to know how we compare with those states. That's important. But we don't want the federal government dictating how we teach our children.
He proposed the bill Wednesday, and it passed through the Senate chamber Thursday.
Bills have just been rammed down our throats.
But the bill faced intense discussions on the Senate floor.
When you make this kind of massive change, you need to make sure that what you're changing, that you know totally what all of the consequences and ramifications of those changes will be.
If the bill were to become law, the Alabama State Board of Education would have until 2021 to create new standards.
Now, the bill will now head to a House committee for consideration. Speaker of the House, Mac McCutcheon, said he didn't want to comment on the Common Core bill just yet. He wanted to have a chance to look at it.
And there were changes made to that bill today. And again, as she stated, if passed, the state school board would have until 2021 to establish a new set of education.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Let's go to someone who was down there for this vote, watched the debate. Our very own Tea Party Becky. Becky, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show.
Hey, how are you guys today? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you on this beautiful day.
Oh, I know. I can't wait to get out there.
Yep. There you go. Me too. I'm up in the attic, remember. Tell me what the debate was like on the floor in the Senate.
Well, there wasn't a whole lot of debate. Actually, I had to walk out through part of Vivian Figures. That's who you just heard on the radio just talking about it coming through so fast. First of all, Senator Smitherman got up and started talking about the bill, but it was clear he had really no idea what he was talking about. He was using some talking points that had misinformation about the bill. So I just quieted my mind, and then Del Marsh just explained why this was so important and that we cannot dispute the facts that our test scores have dramatically gone down. And it's not only in Alabama. Every state that adopted Common Core is on a downward trajectory now. That has never happened as long in the 40 years we've been keeping data on education. It has never happened before. No matter what education reform came along, it's always been trending upward until Common Core. So it's not in Alabama we have, you know, a problem here. It's across the nation. So I'm very happy that he is seeing the light and finally is doing something about it.
Well, this is, you know, it's unusual for me to say this, but this was a great move by the Senate, and I congratulate Del Marsh on this, because this thing has been bad news from the very beginning. People tried to warn them about it. They wouldn't listen. Mm-hmm. The educrats just kept bulldozing it on. When Vivian Figures talked about you ram it down their throat, I think that's exactly what happened when they adopted Common Core.
Absolutely, it's what happened. And you know, we were yelling and screaming. We knew how this was going to turn out. And I wouldn't say it's vindication yet. You know, it's got a long way to go to get through the House. But I feel like these 9 years that we have been fighting, first of all, for them to not adopt it at all, there was a big battle. And we were just brushed off. And then ever since then, you know, almost every year we have had a bill in the legislature. The last couple of years we haven't, but 2015, I think, was the last time. And every time, they never even made it out of committee. And Del Marsh, at the committee meeting on Wednesday, he started his speech saying that he knows that he was one of the guys who stopped Common Core repeal bills ever going forward. But he sees that he's wrong. And no matter his motive, the fact that he's running for Senate, it doesn't matter. The fact that it's just getting done is what matters.
Well, think about the amount of educational time that was lost during this 9 years. And the people that have suffered the most are the ones that have been subject to this for the last 4 years.
Yes. Well, and math was fully implemented, I believe, in 2011, if I'm not mistaken. And, no, yeah, math came in first. And it's so sad. And not only did kids have a hard time, and, you know, we've seen that our test scores have gone down, but there's an emotional toll that takes place as well. A lot of these kids hate math now. They, you know, they're just kind of ruined by it. So it's going to be a while until the actual new standards come in. And that was something in the bill, is that they have until the fall of 2021 to get new standards in place, which only puts us a year behind, because we were going to be implementing, it's 2 years behind. We were going to be implementing this fall new standards, but they were still full of Common Core. And so we're glad they're pushing it back a little bit.
Is there a positive? Well, first of all, give me your reading on the House, other than some members of the Democrat Party that are still in bed with AEA. Will there be much opposition in the House side?
I think, you can ask me again on April 2nd. When they come back from spring break. They're starting spring break today and won't be back until the 2nd. But for the most part, yes. I think most Republicans have seen it as a problem. And many of them actually did want to vote on it, but in the past. But like I said, it never made it out of committee. I think with the new leadership, with these new test scores that have come out, that we've seen how awful it is, they're a lot bolder. and realize we need to go in a different direction. And we have a pretty good majority in the House. But I will tell you, the opposition to this has come out in force. They are hounding the senators with criticism, and now they're working on the House members. And they do this for a living. They get paid to be down there at the State House, and so they are calling House members now. So my call to your audience, and I'm getting ready, Eagle Forum is sending out an alert here in about, well, this afternoon, I'm almost done with it, with phone numbers. Our senators need to know that we support them in this vote. And then those who are getting, you know, our House members, they need to know that the grassroots and the regular Joe citizens out there have their back, because they're going to have a lot of pressure from the Education Department to keep this awful thing in place.
What was the,
so we need to step it up.
What was the final vote tally in the Senate?
23-7. And it was mostly just party lines. It was a party line vote for the most part. There were a couple that three members were not there, and they voted, pass or not present.
They were not there, or they voted in absentia?
Let's see. They passed, yeah, so they were not there.
Okay.
They were not voting or not present is what P means.
Okay.
And in this, for everyone who would like to get the update, you can go to Eagle Forum of Alabama's Facebook page. And in this email that I'm sending out, we'll have the roll call vote that people can look at, the actual bill you can see, other information that you might want to know about this bill, because this is going to be a process. You know, we're going to be working several weeks on this, going through the House. We may be needing to add some amendments to it, and I'll keep you posted as that comes along.
I was just about to ask that, which I slightly mentioned to you last night, is that do you see an amendment process coming in for this? Do you feel it needs to be amended?
We are really going through it with a fine-tooth comb now, and I do think we have some areas that we can make even stronger. So I would say yes, possibly. I don't want to say what those are, but I know that the opposition, of course, is going to be wanting to submit some amendments that would just weaken the bill. So we just really need to be on our toes.
Well, you may want to call our good friend Dick Brubaker and ask him his advice on this. This is right in his wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he helped us a lot. I mean, it never got out of committee, and sometimes we felt like he was working against us sometimes, but... But you're right. He's got the history on this. He kind of knows the ins and outs on this. So that's a great idea. We have to check in with him.
Becky, thank you so very much for calling in. Thank you for what you do.
You bet. You're so welcome. You guys have a great weekend.
You too. Newstar 93.1. Dan Moore Show. We'll be back right after this.
Your news talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
In all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Many people here in the Montgomery area are looking for a new dentist. Some of you may have just moved into the area, or your dentist may be about to retire, or maybe it's just too hard to get an appointment with your dentist. The Dan Morris Show has a personal recommendation just for you. Dr. Dan Hudson of Bill Road Family Dentistry. He is a sole practitioner dentist with a heart for his patients. Maybe you need a checkup, or you may need to have crowns or cosmetic dentistry. Dr. Dan Hudson can handle your case. He is a complete dentist who has the latest and most up-to-date dental equipment. He can do crowns in just one appointment, saving you time and money. But the real secret of Dr. Dan Hudson's success is his staff. You'll love the staff of Bell Road Family Dentistry. You aren't just a patient number, but a part of the family of the Bell Road Family Dentistry practice. You'll love this former member of the Special Forces who is dedicated to your dental health. Call 395-6695 to set up a consultative appointment. Dr. Dan Hudson, Bell Road Family Dentistry, 395-6695. He will make your smile.
Hey folks, Dave Ramsey here. Creating a stylish, relaxing outdoor retreat for friends and family to enjoy time together can increase the appeal and value of your home. My friends at Southern Homes and Gardens offer many options for outdoor furniture in styles and prices for all budgets. In fact, Southern Homes and Gardens has the largest selection of quality outdoor furniture in the region. I'm talking about handcrafted furniture with rust-free, UV-resistant materials that are durable and timeless designs made to withstand the elements for years. Don't waste your hard-earned money on what's perceived as the lowest price in town, as it will end up costing you more in the long run. Quality outdoor furniture is a smart investment that not only enhances your home's value and curb appeal, but it will give you and your family years of enjoyment. Call 334-387-0440 or southernhomesandgardens.com.
When the power goes out, your life is disrupted. Basements flood, security systems quit. Heat, air conditioning, refrigeration, phones, all gone. Last year alone, 41 million people lost power for an average of 5 days. And with severe storms becoming a common occurrence, it's only going to get worse. So how can you take back control? A Generac home standby generator protects your home against power outages every second of every day, all year long, ready to automatically supply power to your home within seconds of an outage, whether you're home or away. And because it runs on either natural gas or LP, you won't have to wait in line to buy gasoline ever. Control your power, control your life with a Generac home standby generator.
With affordable financing options available, now's the perfect time for Mr. Electric to install an automatic standby generator in your home. And remember, Mr. Electric provides maintenance for backup generators too. For more information, call Mr. Electric of Montgomery today.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump says again the Democrats are anti-Jewish. Some of the party's presidential candidates have said they will not attend a big pro-Israel conference in a few days. The president's not expected to attend either, and asked about it, he says,
"The Democrats have very much proven to be anti-Israel. There's no question about that, and it's a disgrace. I mean, I don't know what's happened to them, but they are totally anti-Israel. Frankly, I think they're anti-Jewish."
Vice President Pence does plan to address the conference. The president's there spoke to reporters before heading to Florida for the weekend. He's there now. General Motors announces plans to add 400 jobs and build a new electric vehicle at a plant in Orion Township, Michigan. CEO Mary Barra.
EVs are going to help us drive our vision of a world with zero crashes, zero emissions, and zero congestion, and allow us to deliver cleaner air and a healthier planet.
President Trump was critical of GM's decision to close a plant in Ohio. This is Fox News.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by Montgomery Subaru. The experience you want from a dealer is at Montgomery Subaru. 3000 Eastern Boulevard or on the web at montgomerysubaru.com.
Montgomery Subaru.
Hi, everybody. We really have a phenomenal weekend forecast before the next storm system arrives on Monday. For today, sunshine, nice. High temperature up to about 71. Clear skies, cool again tonight. The overnight low temperature, 43. Tomorrow, high temperature up to about 74. Maybe the upper 70s on Sunday. Still mostly sunny, dry days, and great even down on the Gulf Coast. It'll be a little cooler down there. Highs closer to around 70 Saturday and Sunday. And the Gulf water temperature now at 65. Monday, showers and thunder. Thunderstorms are likely. Pollen count still in the very high range today and high both Saturday and Sunday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1.
WACB.
If you listen, you can hear it.
272-9228, that's where we are. Don't forget, we're going to be doing the drawing for this weekly farm market gift basket. Anybody can be get in on that one. Let's go to the phones and go to David. David, welcome aboard the Damo Show.
Thank you, sir. I just wanted to say, I've seen where Trump tried to pass a bill for Israel, and the Democrat Party cut it down. Anyway, they done away with it. So they don't believe in God, so that just goes to show you they ain't right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, David. Short and to the point. Let's do that one then. Let's do this America's Newsroom on the Golan Heights.
The commander-in-chief recognizing Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights, reversing course on a decades-long policy over disputed land.
This is very much like Jerusalem, moving the embassy to Jerusalem. I did that. Golan Heights is the same thing. For years, other presidents have campaigned. They said they'd do it. This is sovereignty. This is security. This is about regional security.
It's not about Netanyahu's reelection.
No, I don't. I wouldn't even know about that. I have no idea. I hear he's doing okay.
Meanwhile, several Democratic presidential candidates are now skipping next week's AIPAC conference. That list so far includes Kamala Harris, Beto O'Rourke, Bernie Sanders, and Elizabeth Warren.
But first we go to Kevin Cork. He is live at the White House with the latest there.
Their absence may speak volumes about where the Democrat Party is headed right now. And while we have yet to hear the president weigh in on that, we have certainly heard him say a great deal about the Golan Heights. Let me take it to Twitter. The president effectively making a declaration, John, is seen as a significant departure from what many would call foreign policy orthodoxy. But more importantly, at least in the immediate term, it's also seen as a boon to U.S.-Israeli relations and to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
He did it again. First, he recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital and moved the U.S. embassy here. Then he pulled out of the disastrous Iran treaty and reimposed sanctions. But now he did something of equal historic importance. He recognized Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights. And the message that President Trump has given the world is that America stands by Israel.
And obviously moved Bibi Netanyahu there, but as you can imagine, John, a wide berth of reaction over on Capitol Hill to the president's decision, including among some Democratic White House hopefuls. Tulsi Gabbard writing this on Twitter, another example of Trump and Netanyahu putting their own political interests ahead of the interests of our respective countries will escalate tensions and likelihood of war between U.S., it will make that Israel, U.S., Syria, Iran, Russia. Ultimately, she calls this short-sighted.
You know, we've had this discussion with Dr. Sorensen talking about the significance of the Golan Heights, and it's a higher port. It's a place where you can fire down on people, and that's why they did not want to give that up. And you're going to hear a piece about that. This happened in 1981, and they actually gave up on it from the Yom Kippur War that happened, but they went back and got it in 1981. Let's go to Papa B. Papa B, welcome aboard the Damar Show on this magnifico day.
It is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And you are 5x5 in Alexander City, my friend.
Oh, right. I like that.
I'm telling you, man. You got great reception up here.
Do you have, are you a military background?
No.
Oh, okay.
I picked that kind of lingo up from movies.
Oh, okay. I swear to God. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say this Golan Heights situation is excellent. It looks like Trump is going to have some restorative effects on Lebanon. I've never thought in my lifetime I would see it again, but it looks like possibly, you know, there'll be some maybe sense that can be made over there, driving out a bunch of bad elements, you know, and just good all the way around. I'm wondering, though, what my Jewish friends are thinking about the rise of a anti-Semitic nationalist Democratic Party is right now in the Democrats. What kind of reaction are they having, Dan?
Well,
socialist, nationalist, anti-Semitic. I think we've seen that movie before.
Yeah, really. I think it depends on where they live and whether they're in New York or whether they're in Alabama, but the place is going to be most important, and we'll get to a cut about this a little bit later on, is Florida.
Yes, okay. So you don't think, like, up in New York, they're even worried about that, so to speak, or...
Well, I tell you what, the Jewish folks that are in New York, and particularly in New York City, because I had a lot of friends that would have fallen into that category, that and people I knew, they see the world a little bit differently than, say, families in Montgomery, Alabama.
I understand. Well, Trump got such a pitiful percentage of the Jewish vote in that first election that I just... had nowhere to go but up, in my opinion. So maybe some of these things will redound to his favor on that end. I don't know.
Well, the place that's going to matter is going to be Florida. And
right.
He actually did fairly well in Florida, and I think he'll do better. The folks that live in Florida see things very differently, even differently of the way they saw things when they lived in New York, for example, and then they migrated down to Florida.
I got you. Well, it's always been perplexing to me. You know, I mean, really, in all reality, the biggest supporters of the Jewish people, both at home and abroad, that are not Jewish, are the evangelical Christians.
Absolutely.
And yet, they have had the most animus poured out upon them by the Jewish people. I don't get it, Dan. I truly just don't get it.
Give me an example of that.
Well, politically speaking, I would say. Making alliances with people that are really, now, I think can be demonstrated to be certainly anti-American traditional values, possibly even anti-Christian.
Well,
and empowering those elements of the country. So I don't understand it.
Well, I'll tell you one thing for us here in Montgomery. We come from a very unusual place. We have a very healthy Jewish, Christian citizenship relationship in Montgomery, Alabama. I mean, extremely healthy.
I believe that. And I know that, actually. So.
I mean, I'll show you how good it was is that a friend of mine that was Jewish when we were at Floyd, and I had my own little yarmulke at the temple that he went to. I did a Seder dinner with his family one time, and that's bringing you into the household there. But again, what happens is it's very different when you get up into New York, because there's this kind of, you don't want to mess with things and get us where we're back in the spotlight because people will hurt us mentality. There's also very much of a big government, we need to help people out there. There's if you help people that are hungry and things like that, then those people won't fight you type mentality. That's very much an Eastern Jewish philosophy.
Do you think it has to do with political expediency as well? I mean, at all, the New York caliber, trying to ally themselves so that they're, have political power and can exercise it more effectively. Is that really the only reason, just political expediency? Or are they true believers in that liberal ideology?
Yeah, I think what happens is the mentality is different, and particularly than in the South. But the mentality is this: that if you one of the things that was a problem in Germany and from World War II and the Night of Glass and all that, and it's good to know kind of the history about that, but is that they blamed the Jews because the Jews were in charge of banks and mercantile and things like that, and they had it, and the German people didn't. And so it was And the mentality is you need to always take care of the poor so they won't rebel against you and take and come at you type thing. That's very much a mentality that's in the East. And some of it's here in Montgomery, but not as nearly as big it is in New York, for example.
Well, I tell you, there was only one instance when I was in college there at Huntington, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. And we visited a temple nearby. Mm-hmm. Was it Bethel or was it?
Bethor. Down on Nerling Road.
Right. It, very interesting. I found it very enjoyable, the service. So, and there's one thing I would love to do someday, and that is visit the Holy Land.
Me too.
I just would love to take that kind of trip. But Dan, thanks for taking my call, and I look forward to winning today. Sweet Creek.
Are you in?
I got a feeling.
Are you in?
I'm in, and I'm going to just go ahead and get my car ready to take that trip to West Point just in case.
Ah, there you go. Well, let me tell you something. You ought to go down to Sweet Creek Farm Market this weekend, whether win, lose, or draw, but they've got these beautiful ferns that are there. I believe the strawberries will be back in by tomorrow, but you ought to go down there. I'm heading down there tomorrow.
You know, I think it's going to be a fun trip for just me and Mama D to go down and just have a look, because she's never been down there.
She's never been there?
I know that she would enjoy it. No, never been there. So I think that would be a good idea to take her out there. I think she'd enjoy it.
Well, they've got a cook-off that they're doing, I think it's next weekend, and doing barbecue and ribs. And I'm going to be one of the judges down there, and I'm really looking forward to that. That's going to be a fun day.
That'd be great, Dan. All right, my friend.
Take care.
Thanks so much. Have a good one.
You too. News on 93.1. Dan Moore Show will be back right after this quick break.
Or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
I'm Dick Brubaker, and we have some exciting news to share from Brubaker, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Prattville and Montgomery. The 2019 Ram truck was named Motor Trend's 2019 Truck of the Year with the most hauling and towing capability ever. The 2019 Ram truck is the perfect combination of grit and grace. It's loaded with best-in-class features and more space, more storage, and more technology than ever before. And hang on, the good news just keeps coming. The Jeep Wrangler has been named Motor Trend's 2019 SUV of the Year. The legendary icon embraces its classic style and blazes its own path to modernization. The all-new 2019 Jeep Wrangler is packed with new features, including updated technology, design, and performance. Come and test drive the 2019 Ram truck, Motor Trend's Truck of the Year, or the 2019 Jeep Wrangler, Motor Trend's SUV of the Year, and experience the Brubaker difference. Better vehicles, better service, better pricing.
It's a better buy at Brubaker.
Trustworthy, accurate, immediate. Carrying your voice across the river region. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV. You make me
weak. 272-9228. Yeah, I got the Duke game. It's going to be tonight. So don't buy that last bone-in ribeye. Don't buy it out from under me. Let's, we were on the Golan Heights. Let's do the Margaret Brennan talking about Trump backing Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights.
Margaret, President Trump's abrupt decision to declare Israel's permanent ownership of the disputed Golan Heights is provoking international condemnation. The president upended more than five decades of U.S. policy with his call on Twitter yesterday, saying it was time. Israel seized that territory from Syria in the 67 war. So how's the president's announcement being received?
Well, with that condemnation from the international community, but it is so popular in Israel, where his friend, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, is really fighting for survival in an election that's going to be held just 18 days from now. Netanyahu has really sought to capitalize on his close relationship with the president, even as you see there, featuring him in campaign ads. The prime minister is under a lot of pressure. He faces a possible criminal indictment on charges of bribery and corruption, so this boost helps him. He called the president yesterday and said thank you. Now, the president in an interview has said it was not deliberately meant for political reasons. But here in the U.S., even Republican lawmakers, evangelical Christians argue this is all going to help Israel's security. Here's the thing. Nothing's changing on the ground. Thousands of Syrians live there. The UN has been there policing it. Israel's been in control of it since 1981 when they annexed this territory, which is why it is considered illegal under international law. So there's a lot of concern among diplomats that this sets a very dangerous precedent because it allows a country and recognizes its ability to seize territory through military force. So that sends a signal to countries like Russia, hey, maybe by creating facts on the ground, you can legitimize your military interventions.
And like I said, what happened is Yom Kippur War, when Israel got attacked, they went back in and pushed everybody back, and Golan Heights was one of the areas. Then they kind of let things go easy, and then in 81, they basically seized it again because they didn't want to have anybody to have the upper ground in there, so they have a fairly substantial, as Dr. Sorensen has said, a military presence there and a police presence, so nobody can be doing anything that's kind of sorted here.
Isn't it amazing, even with all the new technology in military weaponry and the art of war, that the high ground still really means something? It's remarkable.
It really is. If you talk to some of these people, Air War College and different things like that, it's some of the simple things. You're not going to win a war at 30,000 feet. You've right. got to have boots on the ground. And whose boots those are can be different. But you're not going to be able to win a war without having troops engaged in it. Newstalk 93.1, Dan Morris Show. But reminder, Mike Holmes is going to be coming in at 2 o'clock for the Legislature Roundtable. We're going to do the drawing early on Sweet Creek Farm Market. We're going to do it before Legislative Roundtable. So if you want to get in, well, you better call.